Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Welcome back to the MIP. This week on the MIP Report, NFL takes center stage with the NFL Draft. Quarterbacks. Also, NFL rule changes. Speaking of quarterbacks, a quarterback retires, and we will have the quarterback of the greatest show on turf to break down all of this stuff that's going on with the quarterbacks. That's Kurt Warner joining the MIP. Now, let's jump right to it. First story on the MIP report, the NFL draft. And I must say this, guys, I don't think in all of my years of being around the NFL, working in the NFL, and that's a lot of years, we've ever had this kind of quarterback stuff going on in the draft. I mean, we have at least 5 quarterbacks that very well may end up in the top 10, 11, 12 picks. 5 quarterbacks in the top third of this draft, top half of this draft, is serious business. And breaking them all down and watching how they fall. And that story, really, which I pull out, and we will have next week, we'll talk about this draft. We'll have Stephen Jones to talk about the draft. And then right after the draft, we'll get you Kyle Shanahan and to talk about what happened in the draft. And that's the key spot right there. That third pick. I keep hearing about this, and everybody keeps saying, well, for San Francisco to go up and get the third pick, they must know what quarterback they like. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not that they must know what one quarterback they like. They must like at least 3 quarterbacks. Because if they only like one quarterback, there's no telling that guy's going to be there. So they must feel real good about the top 3 quarterbacks. No chance they get Trevor Lawrence. No chance. You heard Urban Meyer right here on the MIP report talk about that. Trevor Lawrence was part of the reason he took that job. He's not going to take that job and then let you steal him right from up under him. You heard Urban Meyer. Speaking of Urban Meyer, you heard him also talk about Alex Smith. He wanted Alex Smith. So when we started talking about Alex Smith retiring, Alex Smith still had some opportunity out there, but he walked away. But these quarterbacks, this situation right here, when I look at that third pick, I said, yeah, San Fran has 3 quarterbacks in this draft that they think, and they gave up a lot to get there, that they think is the quarterback of their future. Now, what's interesting is how Matt Jones has slid in here. You know, I was reading the stories on Matt Jones because I have to do the red carpet and then I do the in-venue of the NFL draft. And there's nothing like it, man. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm so happy we're getting back to it. I had fun with the draft last year, doing it virtually and seeing some of the stuff I got a chance to see. I can't help but start laughing because I was watching, you know, when CeeDee Lamb got drafted. And of course, his lady snatched that phone. He snatched it back. I ain't never, that was the best play he made all year. When he snatched that phone right back, hey, watch out, girl. Don't you get that. That ain't for you to get right there. But so it was fun. It was fun watching at home as some of the moms and the girlfriends, because you watch that one mom to pull the girlfriend off her son, like, hey, get off me, son. That ain't your money. That's me and his money. You know, that's kind of how I read into that. All that stuff was fun. All of it was fun to watch. And it was needed because we were all clogged up in the house at the time and we needed some kind of form of entertainment and to get away from the monotony of it. So it was fun. But now we need this. We need to get back out, to get back amongst each other. And that's why I'm so happy to be at the draft. I'll be right there on that stage with my microphone. And when we've done this in the past, like in Tennessee, man, it was so many people out lining the street. It was an incredible, incredible moment. Now, I know it's not going to be quite like that, but moving back towards that, I can't wait. I just can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see how this quarterback stuff plays out. I mean, we're talking, a lot of people talking about that third pick. The number one spot, that's Trevor Lawrence. We know that's going to happen. As we said, the guy that's going to make that pick came on. He told you, basically, that's going to happen. But after that, nobody knows. I was reading up on Zach Wilson. Zach, it's an interesting story, too, and everybody kind of considers Zach probably going to the Jets. But we don't know. We don't know. You know, I don't know if people are throwing in smoke screens right now, and then the Matt Jones get thrown in at the third. You got Lance coming in, and then Justin Fields. I don't know how he's falling so far off. And that's another thing about this time of the year. People always come in and start getting in these workouts and start thinking they see more in a workout than they saw on the damn film. That blows my mind. This is the kind of thing that got Chicago in trouble drafting a Mitchell Trubisky. This is the same thing that got Chicago in trouble. I remember years ago when they drafted Jay Cutler. You get caught up in these workouts. This is not about some gym shorts, T-shirt, let's see what you look like. This is about what can you do when dudes' live bullets are coming at you. So it blows my mind that we minimize all the film and we maximize workouts and people start shooting up boards. Shooting up a board means the workout blew me away. The workout blew you away? What about all that film you had? You know, so it'd be interesting to see if Matt Jones is that guy. If that's who they are trying to go up and get. Now, let's remember this. Kyle Shanahan, and I want to talk to him about this. Kyle Shanahan really wanted Kirk Cousins that time. Really wanted Kirk Cousins. Thought Kirk Cousins could have been the answer to his prayers for San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Shanahan, and he is. I don't care what you say, he is one of the best play callers in the National Football League. And he knows his scheme. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to scheme and get people open. He does a great job of it. He does a great job of it. So if he's sitting there saying that I found a quarterback that mentally matches what I want, what I do, then I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. We're moving towards this year, this age of athletic quarterbacks. You know, quarterbacks that run really give you that added dimension of finding those hidden yards. And Matt Jones can run, and he can move, but everybody compares him to the Justin Fields and the Trevor Lawrence and the Justin Fields, and he can't run like that. He can't run like Justin Fields can run. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out at the top end of that draft. I don't think I've ever seen it like this many quarterbacks. And what it means is you're going to have a lot of opportunities. for somebody, or for us later on to be saying, boy, they took the wrong person here. Boy, they took the wrong person. Because all of these quarterbacks, when you get drafted this high, with these great high picks come great expectations. Great expectations. And you and I both know that all five of these quarterbacks that everybody's been talking about, all five of them are not going to be total success stories. It's just, it doesn't work that way. The odds, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? It just doesn't work that way. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that does work and play out. Next story on MIP I want to talk about is the rule changes that are going on. All these rule changes that are going on. And I want to line up. And they've had a few rule changes, you know, like no overtime in preseason, all that. Thank God. Nobody wants it. I used to hate that stuff when we were playing preseason game. I mean, we play preseason game, and the game is 24-17, and we're marching down. I'm out of the game. It's fourth quarter. We're marching down the field to go score a touchdown. I'm already in coach's ear. Hey, if we score, man, we're going for two, right? It's either let's win or lose. We're not going to tie this thing right here. We're going for two. It's a preseason game. We don't need to be out here any longer than that. So I'm okay with them dropping that out of there. Get it out of here. We don't want to talk about that stuff anymore. But what I do want to talk about is the numbers, the being able to put single-digit numbers on linebackers and wide receivers and all of this stuff. And you might ask, well, how does that mess with anything? Let me tell you how that messes with things. Because I personally, when I heard it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I think I like that from a business standpoint. Because now with all of these new numbers, that means people got to go out and get new jerseys. That means new money coming into the NFL. A lot of new money is coming into the NFL too, folks. New TV money. New gambling money, and now New Jersey money. They're going to make their money back up, buddy. That's what they're trying to do right now from that pandemic. And nobody does it better than those 32 mafia dudes over there we call the NFL owners. Nobody does it better than them. So trust me, they will make their money up. But let me tell you where it affects the game. Even though it's nice and fun, and yeah, we're going to make more money because the jersey sales or go up. And there's something cool about that, too. You know, you think about it. When you want to go out on a date or you're going out, you put on a pair of jeans. Honestly, I love my 88. But it's a little cooler when you're wearing a single-digit number. You know, number one. A jersey with number one on it. Number two, number three. Number nine on it. Those are cool. That now it becomes more fashionable. More fashionable. I used to look up in the stands all the time. I saw so many people with number 8 jerseys on. I was like, man, that's cool because 8's my favorite number. So I took it twice. But you would see a lot of people with number 8 on. And it was cool because that one nice 8 matches your blue jeans. You got on a white cowboy jersey with a nice blue 8 and some blue jeans, John White's white kicks. You got a nice matchup there. And it's sleek. And I used to look up in the stands. And I always saw everybody with 8 on. All the kids and some of the adults, they all look good. And then I would see even some nice looking kids with 22 on. You know, and a nice little 22. But this really don't have anything to do with anything, but I just want to throw this out. I would always see the hardest looking brothers in the world with 88 on. I'm like, now why all of my people got to be the hardest looking dudes in the world? Why can't I have some little kids wearing 88? Why? Also, you know what I mean? Everybody had on 88, man. I was like, dang. You know? It was a true story. We used to joke about it on the sideline, right? They would say, Mike, who is that ruthless-looking dude up there with that 88 on? I say, man, leave me alone, man. I'm trying to focus on football. But let me tell you how it affects certain things, too, really. How it affects certain things. Think about it from the quarterback perspective. When you guys see a quarterback come into the line of scrimmage and he's pointing at the defender, he's pointing at the backer. Mike backer. He's letting you know where the defense is set. He is the middle linebacker. That's the Mike backer. Middle linebacker, Mike backer. Or he may be pointing at a blitzer, you know. And it's easier for a quarterback to rectify and understand when those numbers are what they are. Oh, okay. Linebackers are 40s or 50s. Okay, so I know it's got to be a linebacker. I can point that out. Now these guys, because now these guys are having single-digit numbers, you got to start measuring and reading. Okay, where is everyone when I come out? This is why Tom Brady has an issue with this. Tom Brady knows this. He's got to now recognize a single digit as a linebacker, as opposed to it being, that's a linebacker in, or are they in nickel? See, if it's a linebacker, then I got to spot up Mike backer. But if it's not a linebacker, I got to spot up nickel. That's the extra cornerback. That means five defensive backs are in. If they all got single-digit numbers, now I got to – it makes it a little bit more difficult for me to spot that up. I got to spot up a dime. That's six DBs in. A dime, dime, dime. But if all my of my backer, linebackers have on single digits, you see how much more difficult that can be? Because the numbers helped me declare when I played the quarterback position. We definitely got to ask Kurt Warner about this. We definitely got to ask Kurt Warner, because there's nobody greater at breaking down film and breaking down defenses. And I've seen in a long time when I watch, because I work with Kurt and I watch him. I watch him do these XOs, and he talks about concepts and quarterback concepts and breaking down quarterbacks. And that's why I want to get him on today, to break down all of these guys, all of these five quarterbacks that everybody's talking about. But the kind of problem that this will cause the quarterback now that they're allowing these rule changes to come with the number of positions. So, yeah, it's cool on one end, and it's going to make some money on one end. But Tom Brady and those old veteran guys that play pre-snap football, this is where it affects. I'm talking about the guys that play pre-snap football. That means that these are the guys that know where they're going with the ball before the ball is snapped, according to the defense that you are running. Pre-snap, that's called pre-snap football. Post-snap football, most athletic guys play post-snap football. They don't necessarily read to play pre. They read back up, see what's happening, see where they can throw. If they can't throw it, they're gone. That's playing post-snap football. So it affects them less, I believe, than it will affect the guys that play pre-snap football. And we will jump all into that conversation with the guy that played pre-snap football and Kurt Warner. I want to see how he talks and what he thinks about all of those rule changes and the numbers things. And speaking about numbers, next story on the MIP. This guy was drafted number one overall. Number one overall. Alex Smith. This week he announced his retirement. And his retirement, I say, after making the greatest comeback we've ever seen in NFL history. It's simply the greatest comeback we've ever seen in NFL history. I always say, guys, you heard me a million times say I measure men in distance travel. And when I watch that documentary, and this man had caught that disease, this skin-eating disease, and how much of his leg it had eaten up. And his wife was in that room debating, do we cut off his leg? Do we go, what do I do? You know, am I going to lose my husband if I don't cut off his leg? To come back from that and step on the field, I have no issue if they name that comeback of the year award the Alex Smith Award. If you go and really dig into this story and look at that documentary, and they're showing pictures of what his leg looked like. Oh my God. I don't know. Oof. Oh my God. Oh. And imagine you look down and you got some disease, skin eating disease that's eating up the skin on your leg and you can't even see, you could see right through it. It was, yeah. I don't mean to gross out. I'm saying if you can see it, go see the documentary and it'll give you a picture of what this man accomplished by making that track back to the NFL football field. And he'll be remembered for that. But when he retired, we also have to talk about what kind of career has he had. And Alex Smith had a pretty good career. A pretty good career. If Alex Smith would have been drafted anywhere besides the first pick overall, we would say he had a great career. But Alex Smith was drafted number one overall. And then you got a guy named Aaron Rodgers who was in that same draft that was drafted much later. Sat all day in that draft room. You remember. Drafted much later. And they're still going to have to ultimately compare those two. And when you do, you say, okay, Alex Smith will never be considered a bust. Before the first pick, you got to wonder if he accomplished all that he was expected to accomplish. Now, he threw for over 35,000 yards. He had 199 touchdowns with 109 interceptions. That's not a bad career. His record was 99-67-1. Aaron Rodgers' record was 126-63-1 Super Bowl. He has a Super Bowl. You know, so as we get to measuring what kind of career after we get past the emotional part of Alex Smith, you'll have to say he certainly was not a bust. But people will wonder if he lived up to that number one overall pick, especially since that number one overall pick went to San Francisco and we knew that Aaron Rodgers wanted to go to San Francisco. So all of those things will be measured as we talk Alex Smith moving forward. But I just want to say to Alex Smith, man, well done, my brother. Well done. There's so much that goes into winning a Super Bowl. And I know we put a lot on winning a Super Bowl. We put a lot on quarterbacks in winning. You know, quarterbacks are the only people with actual records. So we put a lot on them in winning. But the reality is, man, what you've accomplished, man, what you showed your kids, what you fought back from, what you inspired us all with when you fought back from that kind of an injury. Well done, my brother. Well done. Get on your horse, ride off into your sunset. Godspeed to you and your family. Let's break all of this down and talk about Alex Smith and all of these quarterbacks that we have in this draft coming up with the quarterback of the greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner, on the MIP next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Joining the MIP, this man, you guys hear me say it all the time, I'm going to state it again, and then none has traveled a distance quite like this man. This man went from bagging grocery to bagging championships, so he is an incredible journey traveler. He's a two-time NFL MVP, a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, one of four players to take two different teams, to the Super Bowl. Joining the MIP right now, the greatest show on turf quarterback, Kurt Warner. Kurt, thanks for taking the time to join us today, buddy.
I thought this was all a myth. I thought the MIP was a myth, man. So I'm excited to be on that. This thing is actually real, unless you've really doctored this up, which I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't put it beyond you that you make this look really good, get the intro ready, and this is all a big farce. But I'm happy to be on the MIP finally after hearing about it for the last 6 months.
Kurt, listen, man, you have to save the great things for the great moments. This is a great moment right here, Kurt. And no lying, I tell people all the time, man, I've told you this, Kurt. I wish I could have watched the stuff I get to watch every Sunday that you do with the XOs and the breaking down the court. I wish I could have watched all of that even before I started a career. because it gives you a whole different perspective on the quarterback play. Nobody does it better, man. And that's why this was the perfect time to get you on, because we've never had a draft like this with these kinds of quarterbacks at the top of the draft. So I wanted to break all those quarterbacks down. I just finished, and I was just talking about Alex Smith. I want to start there, Kurt. I want to start there. Alex Smith retired this week. You know, how do you think Alex Smith will be remembered?
Well, I mean, probably the unfortunate part of it is that he's probably going to be more remembered for what he did last year than he's going to be remembered for the entirety of his career. And not that we shouldn't remember what happened last year. I mean, because we talked about it. I mean, there was many times where it was just like, Alex, you know, get on your white horse and ride off into the sunset. Right. You don't need to play another snap. Just go be with your family. But then to do what he did, to lead that team, to get to the playoffs, to overcome those odds. I mean, that's what we'll remember probably more than anything else about Alex Smith. And it's an incredible, you know, it's an incredible accomplishment by him to show who he is and what he's all about. I think when we look at his career, I think the unfortunate thing is we'll always probably use the term game manager, that this was a good quarterback in the league. But that's probably where we'll leave it. And to me, the most unfortunate thing is I don't know if Alex Smith ever got an opportunity to really show us what he was capable of. You know, he finally started to do some things in San Francisco after, gosh, I don't even know how many offense coordinators in his first few years. He starts making a run and he's pushing this team, you know, to the playoffs and towards the Super Bowl. Then, boom, Colin Kaepernick comes. And then he goes to Kansas City, and what happens? Oh, I mean, he's doing really well, and he's doing things that we've never seen before, and things are rolling along, and they're going to the playoffs, and boom, Patrick Mahomes comes in. And so, you know, I think we all know that Alex Smith isn't one of those guys that transcends time in terms of physical ability. But this was a really, really good NFL quarterback that understood how to lead and how to win. And I think that's how I'll remember him, is that a quarterback that probably never got his just due and a quarterback that we probably never got to see fully what he was truly capable of, even though he was a very, very good quarterback in our league for a number of years. And that's why I say, I think at the end of the day, we're going to remember more about his comeback than we will his career, because he never got to take that jump, or at least really see for 4 or 5 years, can Alex Smith become that championship quarterback? We see the really good, but can he become that next level of quarterback? We never got a chance to see it. So we'll remember the man first, which I think most of us would say we'll take that over anything we accomplish in our career. Recognize me for the man and the character that I have. But I'll also remember him just as a quality leader and winner at this level. But you just never going to probably take him into that elite category because of the crazy circumstances that he found himself in numerous times.
And when you bring that up, you talk about that, how we will remember him and everything. How much of that will come from him being the first pick in the draft? In the same draft that we watch Aaron Rodgers drop. And then you tied in with, you knew Aaron Rodgers wanted to get drafted by San Francisco, and they took Alex Smith. So any great thing Aaron Rodgers does kind of, you know, messes with what Alex Smith was, because they were like, oh, you see what I'm saying? How does that play into this?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that, you know, before you mentioned that, I never even thought about Alex Smith as a number one draft pick. And I don't think I do. I'm a guy, obviously, I wasn't drafted. So I
look to that too, though, Kurt. And look at what you accomplished from not being drafted. So that means that then the guy that's the number one pick at all, we start saying, man, this should be his stats. Your stuff should be his stuff. That's what they'll say.
But you look at it too, and again, the reason why, because I wasn't drafted, but you understand what a crapshoot the draft is.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just talent. We're talking about circumstances. I mean, we're talking about Alex Smith going to the number one overall team, and for the first 5 years of his career had 5 different offense coordinators, and they had no pieces together, and he's wallowing around trying to figure out his way while the team was a mess. Aaron Rodgers goes to a team 24th overall or whatever, that's a really, really good team, that has Brett Favre in front of him. And when he gets in there, it's still a good team. He's got all this talent around him. So he's able to hit the ground running when that time came, and Alex didn't. So we can look at a lot of different things, but you know it as well as I do. Circumstances are everything in this business, and especially 15 years ago, because, man, you didn't get a lot of time to develop. It was 1 or 2 years with the quarterback. Oh, shoot, he didn't work out. Let's go on to the next guy. Let's go find the next guy. You know, it was probably 2 decades ago when they would give guys a chance to kind of grow into the position. It's become, we expect you to have success so quickly. So I think Aaron Rodgers, and we know, I mean, he's more talented than Alex Smith. I mean, you know, when you look at him and put him up next to each other, I mean, it's not a surprise, but he was given such a better hand. He was dealt such a better hand, even though he didn't go number one overall, and we all want to go number one overall, and he wanted to be that guy. He was dealt a much better hand than Alex Smith was, and Alex had to fight for so many different things early where he was able to come in, and, man, he had all those great receivers around him. You know, I'm talking about Aaron. When he got in there as a starter, he got to watch, you know, Brett Favre, even if it wasn't a great dynamic in the quarterback room. You're just watching a guy that plays at the highest level. You watch how he competes every time out and what he brings to the table. And we know Brett Favre was a great leader. Guys wanted to follow. So I did think there were so many things in Aaron's favor, along with the talent, that led to him being where he's at, whereas Alex, you know, didn't. And so, but again, I think I'm able to separate that and not necessarily put that on Alex Smith to go, well, you were the number one overall pick. So if we look at it from that scale, we're probably going, oh, he didn't live up to it. Right. You know, he never did anything that lived up to being the number one pick in the draft, even though he was a very, very good quarterback in the league for quite a while.
And see, when you say it like that, Kurt, you know, what came to my mind is, oh, you're right. So Aaron Rodgers should be sending Alex Smith a thank you note saying, I appreciate it, man. I have a great career because they took you instead of me. Because you're right. I never thought about that.
I mean, and you think of, yeah, when things are set up for you, I mean, Aaron, you know, gets to have success early.
And he gets to watch a quarterback have success and not come in and have to beat right now. And you know how hard it is to learn, to get a chance to learn in this league. I know you want to play, but boy, if you get a chance to learn, you better learn. And everybody don't get that chance.
Yeah. And Irv, I say it all the time. You know, it's kind of one of those funny things that when I was, you know, 10 or 11 years old, dreaming of playing in the NFL, if somebody would have come to me and said, hey, by the time you're 28, you would have won an NFL MVP and a Super Bowl by the time you're 28, will you take it? And without a doubt, I'm going, yeah, I'm taking it by the age of 28. And so when you look at my career, the crazy thing about my career was I found a perfect situation right away. So I didn't start my first game till I was 28. But when I was 28, I won an MVP and I won a Super Bowl. And my whole career fast forwarded in 1 year because I found a great situation to get into. And that's kind of what we're talking about here is when Aaron got to play, his team was ready to have success and ready for him to be able to kind of step into that position. Alex Smith wasn't. He was kind of treading water and trying to fight this whole thing for 4 or 5 years before he came into his own, before he had help coming into his own. And so, you know, I say all that just to say that sometimes circumstances help to dictate everything. And, you know, it helped catapult me in 1 year because I was surrounded by great talent. I was surrounded by a situation that fit me perfectly. And boom, you know, I became, you know, one of the best players in the league in my first year. So now it was all gravy from there. I didn't have to climb that ladder, so to speak. You know, I climbed the ladder before I got there. But once I got there, boom, I'm on the top rung right off the bat. So now let's just go from here. And so I know this personally, that circumstances are so important to be surrounded by a quality organization or quality talent, or find yourself in a system that fits what you do. So you're not always trying to grab and pull and scratch just to make it work until you find that situation, which to me was very much what Alex was doing, was just trying to keep his head above water, hoping at some point everything came together and he could have the kind of success that maybe he was capable of having.
Yeah, and then you put the backdrop on it. You know, you saw Aaron Rodgers, he had Brett Favre. He had Brett Favre right there. I don't got to follow Brett Favre, but I can learn from Brett Favre. Alex, he had to come and fight the Joe Montana, the Steve Young, and they were nowhere to be found at that time to give him the lessons of how to get it done. So man, it's an interesting take, and it is. And I said this, Kurt, I said, you know, after watching that documentary on his return and seeing that leg with that disease, that skin eating disease that ate his leg like that. And I've heard people say it, I wouldn't have any problem with them naming the comeback of the year trophy after Alex Smith, which will give him something. He's the first pick in the draft. And this award is named after him because he inspired us all with what he's done. I think that'd be a nice touch if the NFL could do something like that for what we just witnessed. Him coming back from.
Well, and those are legacy defining things, right? I mean, we can have great careers, but you get an award named after you,
right?
Something that lasts, you know, somebody's telling your story for the long term. And you know, we all want to win championships and we all want to get these trophies behind us and all that stuff. But you and I both know that if it was these things or something that allowed our legacy to last for 50 or 60 years and define us in the game, I think we're all taking the legacy, right? We're all taking something that will transcend time. And so that would obviously be really, really special if something like that were to happen. I mean, right behind me, I got the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, right? I mean, so his legacy, we know him as a great player,
right?
But his legacy transcends all of that stuff in the NFL. And now guys come into the league saying, yeah, I want to win a Lombardi, but I want to win that. Yeah, I want to be recognized for that. And so, I mean, that would be obviously really special. And I think any of those things just transcend time. And I think it would speak to, again, the character of the man, which you always want to outweigh your career from a statistical standpoint, which would be pretty incredible.
Yeah, and you guys can say that, man. You guys have been those kind of guys, Kurt. You and Alex and all of them, where your person really outweighs your profession, and it's been a joy to be around that and to see that, especially since I've fallen short in that area. I'm gonna just drop it and leave it like that. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you say that you did. I mean, you had some struggles along the way, but right. That's your goal now, and that's the coolest thing is that now you're saying to yourself, "Well, that's what I want to build up now. I've got all these things that are behind me, right? I got all the shiny stuff, but now your goal is to" allow your personality to transcend some of those other things. And that's what, you know, that's what I love about you is that, you know, it goes beyond those other things now and you understand the bigger picture and what you're trying to accomplish. And again, we all get there different ways, but that ultimately is what we all want to accomplish, or most of us want to accomplish. And that's, you know, like I said, that's what I love about you. It's what I loved about Alex, you know, that he embraced that part of it to say, hey, the football career can sometimes be what the football career is, but now how do I make my mark with something bigger than that? You're trying to do that. I tried to do that. Alex tried to do that. And you commend people for that exact point.
We absolutely commend them. And speaking of making marks, the marks that will be on the backs of football players are already getting ready to change. You know, we're going from the traditional numbers for linebackers and wide receivers to these single digits. Tom Brady, has already came out talking about it. Like, are you joking? Are you serious? Bad idea. I hate this. And I just talked about it. I mean, I understand the NFL. The NFL's about making money, Kurt. They're about making money. And they're going to make some money with this decision. Don't even think about it. Those new jerseys will be selling like I don't know what. But I was just talking to people about how this affects the quarterback. And Tom Brady talked about good luck trying to figure out who to block with all these numbers. Talk to me about that, Kurt. How different or how difficult or how more difficult does it make it when everybody is able, when linebackers are able to get single-digit numbers and you have to spot up the Mike backer from a blitzer or nickel or dime? How difficult is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately we'll work our way through it as we always do. I mean, we'll find a way to adapt to it. But that is one of the nice things about the system, the way that it was set up, is you kind of knew who was going to be in what positions, who was a defensive end, who was a linebacker.
By numbers.
And some of those things you're able to recognize because of that. But, you know, ultimately, Michael, what you know is that, and I'm looking more at positions than I'm looking at numbers anyways. And so all I know is this guy right here that's, you know, that's in between, you know, number zero and number 88, that guy's the Mike linebacker. So it's not going to be hard for me to go, okay, he's double zero this week. I mean, it is what it is. It's just that guy. So I'm going to recognize it and go. But I'm sure it's going to be weird, you know, as it starts. But, I mean, come on. I mean, last year they played with no fans in the stands. I mean, I still can't, in my mind, I can't wrap it around. Did it actually feel like a game or did it feel like practice? Like, no fans there. And guys adjusted and they competed. And so, yeah, it'll probably be weird for a while because, you know, I mean, certain people are going to say, oh, I'm going to be the first whatever with this number. And so that'll happen. But I think that's, you know, a really, really small thing when it's all said and done is that, you know, we come to recognize guys by number. So if Ray Lewis was zero instead of 52, I'm still know, okay, I know who zero is very, very quickly. And I'm looking for that man wearing the big zero. And so, you know, that's going to change and it's going to be a weird adjustment early on for us. You know, even as announcers, I'm sure we're like, okay, you know, there's a safety with number 99. You know, it doesn't make sense, but we'll make our adjustments, and I don't think it will be that big a deal.
Yeah, and you better know who, if Ray Lewis wears zero, you better know who zero is, or you're going to know who the guy that's driving the ambulance is. You can figure out one of the two.
You know, the interesting thing, Irv, is I was watching, you know, tape, you know, just getting ready for the draft, and there was a linebacker that I was watching that actually wore two different numbers during the season. And so one week he was 44, the next week he was 22. And I'm like, I'm trying to find him, and I'm like, okay, it says this guy's making the tackle, but it's 22. That could be the interesting part.
Right.
Do they allow guys to change numbers along the way where, hey, you know, this year I'm 44, next year I'm 22, then I'm going double zero. And so now, you know, guys are just messing with you because you're used to, I don't know, it's going to be fascinating. But like you said, I mean, come on, give me a Kobe jersey and two different numbers. Man, those are going to sell. Give me a Tom Brady, you know, jersey, whatever. He wears 13 this year instead of, I mean, come on. You know that. I mean, they're going to market the heck out of that. It's going to be awesome from that standpoint.
And make a lot of money doing it. You're absolutely right. They're going to market the heck out of it. But now, because in college, those guys wear single digits already. Like linebackers wear single digits already. So these guys that we have coming in, that's not a change for them. We talk about these guys, and I talked about this, Kurt. We talked about this draft coming up, man. I don't think we've ever seen, you know, this kind of rumblings about quarterbacks at the top of the draft like we're seeing this year. And most conversations have been about, let's just call it the top five quarterbacks that's coming out this year, Kurt. I want you to give me your order in those quarterbacks. How do you got – where do you got those quarterback ranked? Because I know you've been breaking them down. How do you have them ranked?
I will give you my order real quickly, and then I'll let you follow up with where you want to go on each of them. But
Right. Well,
I've got Trevor Lawrence at number one. I put Zach Wilson at number two. And I've said this in some of the things that I've broken down, that I could see 2, 3, and 4 being switched around depending on what your flavor is. You know, I always say when I watch film, I watch through a particular lens. And so I break it down a certain way. And so I'm always going to be biased towards how I watch the game. There's going to be other people that might watch it from a different lens. And so they change those. But I got Zach Wilson at two. I put Mac Jones at number three. And then Justin Fields at four and Trey Lance at five is where I have them right now. But as I said, I could see Fields all the way up to number two. I could see Mac Jones, you know, all the way down at number four. I could see those guys being adjusted. But based on my lens, that's how I broke them down.
Okay, and let's start this thing. Let's break them up. Let's go up for 5-1 here. And okay. Trey Lance, give me your scouting report on Trey Lance.
Well, when I look at Trey Lance, the first thing that I'll say is that, because it's the other thing about these five guys, I could see any one of these five guys being the best quarterback of this group 10 years from now because they all bring different things to the table. Trey Lance maybe is the most physically talented of all of these guys with, you know, his body size, his ability to throw the football, obviously his ability to run and move. He has got an unbelievable skill set. And when I watch him, he does some things really, really well. So when I was talking about the lens that I look through, I look through a processing lens. And so I even said this, that, you know, even when I analyze and do our show on Sundays, I have to constantly check myself with different quarterbacks, because my lens is always, oh, I see the game the way I played the game. And so I played the game as a processor, reading coverages, getting the ball out on time, anticipating, accuracy. So that's the first thing that I always look at when I break down a quarterback, is I want to know that they can process, because I believe that translates, and I know that that can win no matter how talented you are. Right. But I sometimes struggle with the athletic quarterback, because that wasn't me, and I don't know how that translates. And a guy can run around and make a play, but in my head I go, I don't really know what that means to me. Like, what can I bank on, and how talented do you have to be physically to be able to transfer what you did in college to the next? So that's a really hard thing for me to be able to understand from a, you know, transferable standpoint, is how athletic do you have to be? I mean, we got Lamar Jackson, which I think is a rare beast, but, you know, is Justin right. Fields athletic enough to be able to do Russell Wilson type stuff at the NFL level? I don't know the answer. Is Trey Lance athletic enough to do that sort of stuff and win and play that way? I don't know the answer. So it's really hard for me to put that in my assessment. So when I look at these assessments, the first thing that I say is I actually throw out the athleticism. And I know that's a piece, but I can't weigh that, because I never played that way. And I don't know what that's going to mean. So I'm going to let other people decide if these guys are talented enough physically to do some of this transcendent stuff. So I'm breaking them down based on what I see them do playing quarterback, more like I play quarterback. So with that being said, Trey Lance, I've seen some really, really good things from Trey Lance. I've seen him process information really well. I've seen him make a bunch of second level throws, which is a huge thing for me, Irv. I believe you've got to be a difference maker with your ability to make those 15 to 35 yard throws, right? Everybody can throw the deep ones and throw it up and let Michael Irvin go make a catch. Everybody can throw a bubble screen at the line of scrimmage and complete 70% of their passes, because we're throwing all these things at the line of scrimmage. Difference-making quarterbacks are the guys that can go 15 to 35 consistently and make those chunk difference-making throws. And I've seen Trey Lance make a lot of those throws. The reason that he dropped to 5 for me was just a lot of inconsistencies, and specifically in his accuracy. Right. Is that there will be times that he'll go through a read and I think, that did a nice job processing it. And then he just whiffs on the throw. And the ball goes, you know, somewhere where you're just like, you can't keep missing some of those throws. And so because of that wild inconsistency, and as I said, I've seen good enough stuff from him to say, man, if he can get his consistency together, he could be the best quarterback in this draft. But if I'm assessing these guys and I see that much inconsistency, it worries me that if I get that inconsistencies at the next level, I probably don't have an elite transcendent quarterback. And the other caveat I got to say, Mike, is we got to remember that most of the tape we've seen from Trey Lance was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, right.
Right? So we don't get a chance to see how he's grown and developed and matured, because he only played the one game last year. Now, I will say that I thought his game last year was the worst game that I saw him play. So he didn't really, you know, shine in that one game he played last year. But, I mean, who knows how that works? I mean, can you imagine going into a season and somebody saying, hey, you've got to get ready to go, but you're going to play one game.
Yeah.
Whereas on the backside of that, you know you're going into the NFL draft and you've got all this stuff. So I kind of throw out that one game, even though it wasn't very good to go. And I don't even know where his mindset was. I don't know. So I go back to 2 years ago, and that's what I saw. So that puts him 5 for me. But I'd like to think that the young man's probably grown, you know, in the past year and a half, getting ready for this moment. So hopefully some of those things have gotten a little bit better. But that places him 5 for me.
Okay, and as you get ready to break down Justin Fields, because I thought you said something that was very interesting. And Justin Fields, another guy that has great athletic talent. Kirk, are we going to ever have that quarterback that does exactly what you said? That guy that has this kind of athletic ability, but he drops back and goes through his whole process, read all his reads, and then when he knows there's nothing else there, now you hit those gears. Now you hit those gears. That would be the perfect quarterback, would you say?
Yeah, it would be perfect. But And again, I can only say what I can say, right? And I can't put myself in one of those bodies and go, oh, well, this is what I would have done. You know, I often say that I ran out of athletic ability. So when I ran out of athletic ability, now I had to learn how to play the position inside the pocket, shoulders up, as we always talk about. And so I got really, really good at playing the game that way. These guys that are so athletic, and they're getting to be even better athletes than we've ever seen at the position, they get further and further and further being able to depend on that athleticism.
Right.
So I don't know how that works, where you can get really good at the processing, but also be a really, really good athlete.
And that, right.
Because you're not forced to. You know, you're not forced to have to do one or the other. Or more times than not, I think you fall back on your athleticism and go, well, I can get myself out of it this way. So I'm not going to go through my progressions. I can just go by time and I can run around. And you can do that further and further. And we see guys do it in college. And then you get to the pros. And that's what I'm saying. There's only so many transcendent athletic quarterbacks at the NFL level that can truly take their team and their game to another level. And, you know, so I can even liken it to Deshaun Watson. We know statistically he's been ridiculous early in his career. Russell Wilson wins a lot, does a lot of great things. But I'm still a firm believer that you have to make the layups in this business. You have to read it, get the ball out on time, make most of the throws you're supposed to make, and then give me five or six special plays a game. If I'm going to ask you, or you're going to try to make 20 special plays every game, we're not going to win very many games, or we're going to struggle against good teams. If you can process and make layups and then give me something special, and that special can be different, or right? Tom Brady's special is different than Russell Wilson's special.
Right.
So
right.
I don't care how the special shows up. Give me four or five special plays a game, a special throw down the field, a special read against pressure, a special scramble where you buy time. But I need you to make the plays you're supposed to make and make those layups 95% of the time if we're going to be a good team, especially when we get to the playoffs and we're playing against other good teams. And so with all that being said, that to me is the ultimate thing that I'm waiting to see. Can one of these transcendent athletic quarterbacks put it all together and figure out, okay, when do I need to stay in the pocket and read through my progressions? Okay, when do I need to, go take off and run and not allow one to bleed into the other where it takes away from one aspect of that? And I just don't know if we've seen that guy yet, right? We're waiting for Lamar Jackson to go, oh my gosh, we know he's transcendent in what he does physically.
Right.
Can he match that with the consistency?
With the way he throws the ball.
Right. And then Russell Wilson, I want to see him make more layups. I want to see him make more of the plays on schedule and not try to, like when they went to play against the Rams in the playoffs last year, he was trying to run around when he didn't need to because he's trying to run away from Aaron Donald. And now you're missing all kinds of things that could have changed the complexion of that game because you were trying to live in that special area, which we know you're special in that area, Russell, but I need you to make the quick slant throw. I need you to make that great read against the hot and not try to avoid the pressure by running around. And those are the things that level it all out. And so I don't know the answer to your question, but ultimately.
If we would ever get that guy. If we would ever get that guy that knows how to do it the perfect way.
Right.
You know, everybody's so, looking for him.
And so I always fall back to the processing part. Because what I know is if you can process information, get the ball out on time, throw the ball the right way, get it to your playmakers, you can win in this business. I don't know because we haven't really seen that athletic quarterback that can do all the athletic things and carry their team all the way to a Super Bowl and can do that consistently. So I'm not sure how to gauge that and say, oh, this bolts this guy up to number two or one on my list because I know he's a great athlete. I don't know how that translates into consistent winning or winning at championships or at playoff time. And so that's why I just throw that out and say, I'm going to let somebody smarter than me figure that out. I'm going to focus on what I know and what I believe can win at this level. And then if they can give me something else beyond that, great. Because then, like you said, we'll find that perfect quarterback. But too often we get even, you know, I look at a guy like Dak Prescott, right? Dak is extremely athletic. He's built. He can run through stuff. He's strong. You know, he can run the zone reads and stuff. But Dak is a pocket quarterback. That is how he plays the game. Is he wants to process. He wants to go through things. And his last resort is to take off. So he's looking to play the game processing-wise and then hoping that his athletic ability can be a complement to that, even though he's a really good athlete that could probably do more athletically. He wants to process first. And so you always have to weigh guys that way, as well as we're getting into Justin Fields. I don't think Justin Fields plays the game athletically like that. I think he's very similar to a Dak Prescott. He wants to play in the pocket. He can do those things. He can run the 4-3 and he can run the zone read and he can, you know, knock somebody off of him because he's got that good base and that good frame. But he wants to play a processing game, play in the pocket, make the throws on time, get the ball out on time. And that's who I think he's going to be at the next level, not a guy that runs around and creates like a Russell Wilson, you know, or obviously nowhere close to a Lamar Jackson.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
You know, I love that you said that each quarterback can bring their own special. Because I've seen Russell do some special things on the football field, man, and really incredible things. But I've seen Tom Brady do a different kind of special thing. Yep. Like, I'm going to hit you, Scotty Miller, right before this half on this touchdown right here. Or I can't outrun Aaron Donald, but I can outthink him. Before he gets here, I'm getting rid of that ball. And that would help Russell Wilson a lot. Just outthink a guy. Just get rid of the ball, man. Save that energy for the fourth quarter. That would help him a lot. Now we're getting in it after we break down talk about Trey Lance and Justin Fields. You're getting into those processing quarterbacks when you talk about Matt Jones. That's what everybody's been talking about, his ability to process. Now, Matt's a late bloomer in that sense because, you know, he was on the field with a lot of guys and he was sitting behind all of those guys. Hurts was there, Tua was there and everything. Then how, in that level, why didn't he, since he's obviously has the ability to process and sounds like even better than those guys, how was he sitting behind those guys?
Right. Well, let me just touch on Justin Fields, just because I don't know if I went into the full detail on why I put him at four, is because he's another guy that I saw do a lot of really, really good things and process things and make some really big time throws. Right. But there were other times, and kind of the knock on him is become the processing part of it. So there's one side of him that I see and I go, man, this looks really, really good. If he's doing what I'm seeing, he can definitely process information. The problem was there were some things on the other side where he didn't process it as well. And maybe even some simpler concepts at times where I'm going, okay, what's going on here? Why is he not able to process this one? And I'm not a guy, Herb, that likes to take one play and go, I saw one play where he didn't process for you. I try to look at the same play when they run it over and over again. And there would be certain plays that he really struggled to process. And so what happens with that for me, Irv, is I start going, okay, well, who is this guy? And you start wrestling with the idea that, well, when I saw him process really, really well, did he really process it well? Or did it happen to be just a perfect play call that looked like he was processing it, but he just got it to the right guy and made a great throw? And then the other side, okay, so why isn't he processing this particular play very well? Was it taught wrong? Was it something that, you know, and so you wrestle back and forth and I can't really decipher what he's going to be because I saw really, really good and then things that I thought he was really, really struggling with. And so because of that, once again, I see Justin Fields and go, man, some of the things I saw could make me say, when it's all said and done, this guy could be the best quarterback of these five. But there was enough that made me question really who he is. And I'll liken it to Lamar Jackson. There will be times I break down Lamar Jackson on tape in the passing game. And I just shake my head like, oh, my God, If he saw that and processed all that and made that throw, man, he's way ahead of where I thought he was. But then he comes back and he misses something easy. And now I go, okay, why is that? Why does that happen? And, you know, it messes with your mind to go, I don't know. I want to sit down in a room with these guys and ask them, what did you see there? And did you really process this? And then why didn't you process this to get a better handle on that? And so, you know, or we don't get to talk to all these guys. We don't get to watch film with all these guys. So we're kind of basing it off of what we're able to tell on film. And so that again, that inconsistency there just makes me question why. And that why is what's dropped him down. And so now getting into Mac Jones. Again, Mac Jones.
No, because I want people to understand what you just said too, Kirk. Okay. Because I'm going to tell you why that's so interesting. Why that's so interesting. Because when processing is not just, okay, one thing when you're breaking down a play, you run a play and okay, we're running this play in practice and we expected this defense. We expect to cover three. And you watch on film and teams have given him the cover three and he makes the perfect process. He reads it perfectly. Boom, there's the hit. But now you're watching him and he's back there processing the play. But he expected cover three, and now he has cover two, and things are all changed. And you're saying, I don't know, was he expecting cover three and got cover two, or was it just a bad play? So that's the other side of it. Okay, right. Did you not have some outs for cover two that you should have processed when you saw cover two as opposed? That's what you're talking about. I just want the audience to understand that's what you're talking about.
You know, and in this day and age, so many of these colleges run what we call pure progression systems.
And right. So, not breaking down the defense. You just run your progression. Don't worry about the defense.
Yeah. Like when I played, it was like, okay, if we got cover three, my read starts with my Z receiver. If we get cover two, my read starts with my X receiver. So I have to see that and decipher that. Some of these systems now go, nope, you start with your Z, then you go to your Y, then you go to your X. And so, you know, if somebody's just doing that, and like you said, you get the perfect defense against it. Oh, boom.
Right.
Okay, did you see that safety and read that safety? Or did you just go to your first read and just bang on them and it looked really good? But that's where you struggle because, again, I don't know what these guys are being taught. I don't know, you know, I can't talk to them and go, okay, I want you to walk me through from snap to throw what all you saw in this situation. And so, again, that lack of consistency where they're up and down makes you just go, I don't know how to really evaluate a guy that doesn't just show me what they are all the time, which takes us to Mac Jones. Mac Jones, you know what you get with Mac Jones, right? He is going to process information. And you made an interesting point, and I would have probably gotten to this point with Zach Wilson, but I'll make it right now. And you said, there are different kinds of processing. So when we talk about processing, I think the first thing everybody thinks of is, oh, processing is going from one to two to three to four in your progression and getting through that quickly and knowing where to go with the football. Yes, that is a huge part of processing. Another part of processing is being able to recognize the defense on the snap. Oh, that safety's leaning this direction, or they're running from a cover two look back to a cover three look. So now I've got to process and go, oh, my initial read was Z, but now no, now it goes back to X, and I process
that.
Another way to process is, you know, corners. Corners are in press, and then all of a sudden they go to bail at the snap. Or a team doesn't look like they're pressuring, and all of a sudden they pressure me. Now, I have to process that and figure out what I need to do in that situation. And then with Zach Wilson and a guy like Patrick Mahomes, another part of processing is understanding the type of throw you have to make in a particular situation. Not just, oh, I got to throw it to my Z here. Well, does this throw have to be driven? Does this throw have to go up and over to the back
shoulder?
I have to lay this over a linebacker. And so that's a whole nother part of processing that nobody really talks about. But in a half a second, I got to decipher, okay, what kind of throw do I have to make? You know, what kind of touch do I have to put on? How hard do I have to throw it? So you have all these layers of processing that go into it. And that goes into a big part of my evaluation as I go through this. But Mac Jones is really good at processing from the first standpoint. Knowing what we're designed to do, knowing where we're trying to go with the football, and then being able to see what the defense does and get through his progressions really, really well. And, you know, we can sit here and once again, you know, people are going to make arguments all the time. Well, he played at Alabama. Yeah, he did. And his receivers were ridiculous. And he had a great offensive line. And he was had better talent. Well, the other thing that I can't do when I evaluate is I can't evaluate the talent around me. All I can do is evaluate the player. So I'm going to evaluate what I see from that player. And, you know, that talent level is going to, you know, or that discrepancy is always going to shrink at the next level. So, you know, did he benefit from having a great team around him? Well, of course. And most guys do. But you've got to see if that translates to the next level. But he was really, really good at knowing where his eyes should be and getting through progressions. And then that last part, he understands how to make throws. But he understands what windows he needs to put it in, when he has to throw with touch. You know, he's a guy that you never have to see throw at 100 miles an hour. I don't know if he can, but, you know, he doesn't have to because he anticipates and he sees things and he throws it ahead of time. And so, again, I liken him a lot to the way that I played. It was mental and it was winning with your mind. You know, even though you were winning sometimes with your arm, it was more, hey, I know I can put touch on this ball, or I can, you know, hit my seven step, take a quick hitch and let this ball go. And I can anticipate and lay it right where Isaac's going to be when he breaks on that 20-yard in. And I could process things that way. Now, on the flip side of that, you know, we talked about that special with the quarterbacks, right? I want to see you be able to process, because right. I know processing can take you to a certain level. And follow my analogy here, okay? So I said he plays the game very much like I did. So I played the game that way. Won a couple MVPs, went to 3 Super Bowls, and obviously made it to the Hall of Fame. Another guy that I think plays the game that way is Andy Dalton. That Andy anticipates, he reads the defenses. He's a guy that is a starter in this league, has won a lot of games, has gone to a lot of playoffs. But the difference between me and Andy Dalton was I had the ability to do the special with my right arm or with the tools that I had. Andy doesn't really have that. Andy can take you so far, and then he kind of stops. Like, I can get you so far, but then the rest of you are going to have to get us to that next level. Mm-hmm. I had the ability to transcend that to a degree. So the question for me with Mac Jones is he more Kurt Warner, is he more Andy Dalton? Believe he can play and be successful and be a starting quarterback and win because he can process information. But can he be a guy that transcends that and gives me enough special to make my team a championship-type team? So if there's a knock on Mac Jones, or my question, I should say, because I got questions with all of them, but if there's a question on Mac Jones, it's what is his, you know, we throw this word around, right, ceiling? What is his ceiling? Is what we've seen what we're going to get at this next level? And is it enough physically to be able to transcend his team to another level? A couple years ago, Daniel Jones was a great example, right? Is that you watch Daniel Jones play and he plays mentally. And of course, in his pro day, he can make every throw and he's got enough arm and all that. But when you watch him in games, when he has to get off platform and he's not in a perfect world and can't just step into it or have perfect technique, he struggles to make those second level or those difference making throws. That to me is where I sit back and go, I know Mac Jones can do some things really, really well, and some things that I believe will, you know, can make him a starter at this league. But does he have that next thing that can allow him to take all this great processing, but then go to a Tom Brady? You know, again, we don't ever want to put anybody in Tom's lap, but Tom processes things, but he had that big game gene or that difference making ability in those key moments. And I don't know if Mac Jones has it. That's the thing. When you play in more of a perfect world at Alabama, when your receivers are more open, you don't have to run around and try to throw on the run and use some physicality. We didn't get to see it enough because there were times where he really struggled when he had to get off platform. It was a struggle for him to get the ball down the field in a timely fashion and with enough velocity to make those throws. And so that to me is the big question with Mac Jones and the thing that says, hey, he could vault all the way up to number one because he processes great. And then if he has that transcending tool, or he could drop all the way down to 5 going, well, you're great at translating, you know, or, you know, processing, but you'll always be kind of like Andy Dalton where, yeah, you'll help us win, But you're going to need a running game. You're going to need a good defense. You're going to need these pieces around you if we're ever going to be able to compete for championships on a consistent level.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about that special thing, because I started thinking that special can be something that you throw, some way you throw, but also can it be, Kurt, like what I thought you brought when you took Arizona, you brought a confidence to that team. You know what I mean? It besides what you could physically do, you brought a confidence to that team. This team had never had that kind of a run before. You know what I mean? And I since I'm doing the red carpet, I'm not actually doing the draft. I'm more into right now the red carpet. I've been studying the stories behind the kids. Because right, that's what I'm going to talk about on the red carpet. I'm trying to introduce the NFL audience to these kids. And Matt Jones has an interesting story. And I hear how the people love playing with him. You know, so I start when you talked about the special, I was like, well, I wonder if that's one of his specials.
It's not. And again, that's special to get guys to follow you.
Right.
To get guys to believe in something that they don't believe in before that.
Right.
That is special. There's no question.
But you're talking about a physical special.
I still had to do something special between those lines.
Right, right.
I had to be able to make those special throws the guys in my face. Or when I'm falling to my left, I got to be able to make that deep overthrow. Right. And so, yeah, that leadership can go so far. But you know it.
Right.
At some point, you're going to have to do it with your talent. You are going to have to win games for me with your talent. And guys are going to have to see that. Otherwise, they'll say, yeah, I love playing for this guy. But we're only going to get this far. We're going to have to do the rest. And so I love that trait. And you love it when you have a quarterback that people want to battle for.
Right.
But no, ultimately, when I'm talking about the special, I'm talking about what can you give me from a football perspective that's special? Because all these guys are great that we're playing against. And at playoff time, everybody's good. You've got to do something to put us over the top. And if you can't, then, man, I'm going to have a great team around me, you know, if we're ever going to compete. Because the guy with the ball in his hands on every snap in a pass-first league, which we're in, if he can't do that, you're probably going to be, the Cincinnati Bengals. You're going to get to the playoffs, and you're going to get beat in the playoffs because you don't have that ability to go, okay, now we got all the pieces. Now I can take us somewhere that other guys can't take us. And that's why we know that there's not 32 starting quarterbacks or what I would say championship franchise quarterbacks in the world, because there's not that many guys. Too many guys need too many things around them to be perfect. The guys that can transcend that are the guys that can push their team and compete for those championships every year. And if you don't have one of those guys, you might be a good team. You might be a good quarterback, but you know, you'll never be looked upon as one of the elite.
Zach Wilson, will he hit the elite? It looks like right now, because we had Urban Meyer on, Urban Meyer, he's going to take Trevor Lawrence. And it looks like right now the Jets and Zach Wilson are headed for a matrimony, holy matrimony.
Yeah.
Going from BYU to New York, that's special. That's special. You're special. How do you see that playing?
Well, here's the thing, Irv, and the other thing that I don't know who was asking me during this past week when they were talking about the draft, and I think they were asking me about Haskins and Fields, and saying, okay, when you evaluate guys from the same college that were kind of similar in college, and then one goes and struggles in the league, do you use that to evaluate the other guy? And I'm like, absolutely not. I mean,
really, do you use it against the other guys, what they're saying?
Yeah, I can't use the negative because one guy struggled in the league, you know, as a negative against another guy because he, you know, because they were similar or they went to the same place or whatever. I can't do that. But I did say, but the funny thing is that if I see a guy that reminds me of another guy when they were in college.
Right.
And then that the first guy goes to the pros and does something kind of transcendent. Or does something, and I go, oh, he reminded me a lot of Zach Wilson in college. Now look what he's doing at the NFL level. I think my mind kind of, you know, it opens up to the possibilities for another guy. So I don't let the negative ever, you know, some guy struggles in the NFL. I don't ever put that on somebody else. But if some guy succeeds at the NFL level and he reminds me of another guy in college, I've noticed that there's times where I go, oh, well, maybe I'll jump this guy up because I saw this other guy do it. And so I'm going to say that Zach Wilson reminds me of Patrick Mahomes. Mm. That when I watched Patrick Mahomes in college, I would watch Patrick and I'm like, my gosh, I mean, the technique's not always there. There's times I'm watching him throw slants into the third window and I'm like, dude, you can't throw slants in the third. You can't just pick a slant and just wait for him to come open and then say, I'm going to throw it really hard and complete it. Yes, I know you did that at Texas Tech, but you can't do that at the NFL level. So I had all these things about Patrick Mahomes in my mind because he played so unconventionally. And, you know, and I looked at it in college and said, yeah, he's just picking out Irv and he's saying, I'm going to throw it to Irv at some point. And so he just waits and waits and then he sips it in it. But then we watch Patrick Mahomes at the NFL level and you go, oh, wait. Maybe it wasn't that he just picked Irv out and said, I'm going to throw it to the third window. Maybe he saw something and mentally created something in his mind that very few guys can do. And we didn't give him credit for, but now we're seeing him do that at the NFL level. We're seeing this level of creativity and this, you know, mental ability that I don't think any of us ever knew he had at the college level, but we're right. seeing that. And then we have this unbelievable skill set. And now all of a sudden we're like, holy cow, now we got the best player in the National Football League. So right. I see Zach Wilson and I see a guy that has some crazy physical talent and a great understanding. When we talk about that processing, he does a great job of being able to process how to make different throws. He's got great touch on the football. He can throw the football from so many different platforms and it's just kind of a flip of the wrist or the understanding of how to use his body to throw a la Aaron Rodgers, a la Patrick Mahomes. And so, like you said, we saw him at BYU. I didn't like the offense that they ran. They didn't give him a lot of great opportunities to process and go through things and read defenses, but he's got such a special skill set
right.
that what Patrick Mahomes did, I think elevated Zach Wilson in my mind saying, well, maybe the possibility, maybe some of the things I'm seeing, I can't really evaluate at the college level, but he'll come into his own in the NFL like a Patrick Mahomes when he has a better offense and he's got the ability to be creative because I've seen a lot of creative stuff that he's done with the football and playing the position athletically.
But so Kurt, that could be a huge thing, fail. And this is why Kurt. This is why I asked this way. I say he's coming in the NFL and he's going to New York. Let's be real. Yeah. They've had a lot of turnover. Now, that what you said with Patrick Mahomes goes to the wrong place. That's to his detriment.
No doubt.
Andy Reid saw the same thing you saw and said, I can make something out of that.
Right.
Most OCs, you know, it's a different thing. They were like, hey, that's a problem, son. I need you to stick to this. I need you to stick to that. Andy Reid takes what you saw and said, let's put that into play. Let's add something to that. Let's use this ability. And that's why I say, oh, going to New York, that's a different thing. That's a different thing because he has to line up and end up with the right people around him to pull those talents out of him.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes is rare with what he does mentally. Let's not get this wrong. We get too enamored with the physical with Patrick Mahomes, and I know he's special and he's rare. But where he has really separated himself is mentally. And that really becomes the question. And so I was just going to say that the way that I'm looking at Zach Wilson could be a huge fail, right? It could simply be, it's wishful thinking that maybe this really talented quarterback that, yeah, there's questions. He played at BYU. He had 1 year. A lot of times it was just go make a play for us because the play wasn't really, you know, really well designed to allow him to process and get through it. So maybe I'm just putting a little more Patrick Mahomes. So that could be a huge fail. Right. That at the end of the day, he might be number 5 on this list because we saw all this unbelievable talent. But like you said, he gets put in the wrong spot. Mentally, he doesn't have the ability to process some things and bail himself out with some things. And now we just see another really, really athletic quarterback that disappears in the league because he doesn't find himself in the right spot or because I evaluated him based on the positives of someone else that he reminded me of. You know, right? We always go to these drafts, and you'll remember it, a few years ago when when we didn't do the comps, right? Right. And but I said, well, you know, Marcus Mariota, his comp is Alex Smith. And I got thrown out of the room like, we're not comping Alex Smith. You got to comp somebody that's a Hall of Famer. And I'm like, well, I don't see a Hall of Famer in this guy. And so it works both ways. So I can take Marcus Mariota and I put him to Alex Smith. And if you looked at their careers right now, you would go, yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, they're game managers. There's not guys that carry their team. That's pretty good. But they wanted me to go compare him to some Hall of Famer. And it's like, well, then you just look at me and go, Kurt compared him to the Hall of Famer. What are you talking about? And so now we're kind of doing the opposite and going, okay, let me compare him to one of the greats. And so we're, you know, it's like, oh, Zach Wilson could be the next Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, that's stupid. That's stupid to put it on the guy. But that's what this world has become is, okay, who's his comp? And what I saw in college from Patrick Mahomes reminds me a lot of what I saw in college from Zach Wilson. I don't know what that full upside is, but I believe I'm giving him a leg up or a push forward just out of, you know, hope that maybe he can have a little Patrick Mahomes in him from a mental standpoint coupled with the physical. And now maybe you have something really, really special at the next level. But as you said, so many different factors that we don't really know when they take that step up.
So many other aspects have to come into play. And I hope they get the right attitude in New York if this is where this kid's going and it all works out. Last but not certainly not least is Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I haven't heard people talk about this since Andrew Luck, a surefire pick. You can't lose with this pick and all of those things. Break down Trevor Lawrence, man. How gifted, how talented is he?
Well, I'm not in the same mold of a lot of those people that are saying he's, you know, the best, you know, one of the top three we've ever seen or best since Andrew Luck. I like Trevor Lawrence. And the reason I have him number one is because I believe he's the most complete with the biggest body of work of all of these guys. And right. So we've seen a lot of really, really good from Trevor Lawrence. I've seen the pre-snap processing. I've seen his ability to throw hots. I've seen his ability to process after the snap. We see the physicality, you know, the ability to run when he needs to, the ability to make athletic plays when he needs to. And that's, you know, athletically playing the quarterback position is how I say it, not just, you know, running fast or running a zone read and running far, but it's playing the position athletically. So just the whole package to me is the most complete, because as I broke down, I've got questions about every other of these four guys. I see the upside of all of them, but I still have questions. I don't have as many questions with Trevor Lawrence because I believe there's everything you need right there. But I'm also not going to say that I look at him and go, man, he reminds me of Andrew Luck, where I say he's a, you know, he can't miss. I'm not sure about that. There's some things that I still want to see at the next level. You know, you look at all these guys and, you know, we talked about the Alabamas, or you talk about, you know, the Ohio States, and you can talk about the Clemsons. I mean, these quarterbacks aren't under pressure very much. And you could pull Justin Fields out of this. You could pull Mac Jones out of this. You can pull Trevor Lawrence. There was games where they were under duress most of the game, and they looked like completely different quarterbacks.
Right.
Now, what does that mean? Well, they weren't used to it and they had a bad game, maybe. Or maybe they're not very good under pressure. So in the NFL, you're going to be under pressure. You're going to have those games. How do you respond to that?
Right.
That sole factor right there might catapult one of these guys up to number one and one of these guys drops to number four. And so, again, you see all these different things that show up in film study. But to me, again, Trevor Lawrence, from what I've seen, the amount that he played, the big time moments, the good teams that he played against, there's just a more complete picture of what I think you're going to get with Trevor Lawrence than any of these other guys. And that's what puts him number one, or these guys, as you say, the more surefire pick, where, hey, nobody's going to fault you for taking Trevor Lawrence. He's given you enough from so many different standpoints to say he's the number one pick in this draft. But I'm still not 100% sold that he is a lock to come in and have early success in the NFL, because there's a few things that I see that I want to see how that translates to the next level.
Kurt, I can't tell you, man, how much I appreciate that. I mean, we're talking draft here. Next week I got Stephen Jones coming on. I'll narrow that to the Cowboys and the Cowboys draft. That's why I needed you this week to make sure, because this draft is all about those quarterbacks, man, and breaking them down like that. That's insightful, incredible stuff. As everybody's out there getting ready to try to pick a quarterback and say, this is going to be the guy that I want to get my team to the Super Bowl for the next 10 years. You just let them know where these guys are and some of the things that they need to work on to get to possibly being that guy to help those teams get to a Super Bowl, man. I appreciate you taking the time to breaking it down for us.
Oh, man. You know, happy to be on the MIP. Happy to realize that this thing is real. And you know as well as I do, that's, you know, one of the most interesting things that will happen next week is that you've got a new coach in Jacksonville. He will be tied to his pick at number one. You got a new pick in New York. His career, you know, there will be tied to that. And then you got the fascinating thing with San Francisco. I mean, you got a guy that took you to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and then you – mortgage the farm and you go up to number three. What are we doing? Like, it's just, that is what's so great about the draft. And I know so much of it is speculation, right? Who's this guy going to be at the next level and who's going to pick who? But at the end of the day, it's like, you are going to be attached to this guy. And you know, we can't wait to see how it plays out on Sundays. I don't really care how it plays out next Thursday. It's going to be fun and it's all good. I can't wait to see how it plays out next fall on Sunday afternoons and how this changes the trajectory of players, teams, coaches. That's the business that we're in, and I can't wait.
And I can't wait either, but I can't wait to see you in Cleveland next week. Thanks for joining the MIP, brother.
All right, brother.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanimal. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.